Enter the next section, the fourth area under the heading of God's way in counseling, and that is church life. God's four means of getting His counsel to us, His Word, the Holy Spirit, prayer, but all in the setting of church life. We'll see that counseling God's way is not designed to take place in some sterile or secular, even professionalized Christian clinic. It's not designed to take place there. I'm not saying it can't take place there. Anyone that seeks God anywhere and sticks to His ways, God will work. It may be less than ideal, but we're not saying that God cannot work there. Though so often the way the Christian professional approach to clinic counseling, the way it's done, builds in so many obstacles to God's way that sadly, in some cases, nothing of God takes place. Just the flesh, excusing the flesh, or feeding the flesh of someone else. But let's come back the other way. It doesn't mean that God can't work in any of these settings that are not ideally as He ordained. But even if God is working somewhat in a situation that's less than ideal, we don't go, hey, perfect, great. No, we go, praise God for what He's done, but let's all call each other to His more perfect way, that's all. And it doesn't condemn everyone out there in the so-called mental health field or out there in the clinics that are trying to help people. It doesn't condemn them because a lot of them really do want to help people. And a lot of them are very compassionate and lay down their lives for others, really, in many ways. And if they pray at times, if they point to the Lord at times, if they share the Word at times, God's going to honor that. God's not a Pharisee. Oh, no, that's not perfect. I won't be working till that's perfect, you know. That's the way man gets, you know. If God were like that, none of us would have any ministry. You know, none of us would. So we want to look over that whole range of what is or isn't happening there and can or can't. But it still doesn't change anything, ultimately, bottom line. If any of us are doing it less than the way God designed, let's call each other back to the right way. That's all. That's all. Not saying we all know how to do it perfectly, but if we notice in our own lives that we're off the track, may we be reproved or may we be convicted and let God adjust us. If we see others that are off track, even though God's using them in part, we go, praise God for what God's doing, but hey, let's all come back to God's way. Let's learn together how to do God's way better. Not just say, well, you know, at least there's some good things happening out there. Maybe so, maybe not. But even if so, let's look where God ordained for this sort of ministry to take place. And He ordained for it to take place in church life as a regular, normal part of member-to-member, one-another relationships and ministry. That's where God ordained it. Let's be reminded, just briefly by way of introduction further, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 of the picture, heavenly picture of the church. And then we'll look at a passage on that is a picture of church life living together. And He put all things under His feet. He, the Father, put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Some of the things we touch on in this study are elaborated on at length in one of the other studies that we often do, called The Church, How Jesus Builds It, that a lot of us went through here together at Calvary Chapel Vista in six studies. But it has critical implication to the counseling ministry. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, including the counseling ministry, yes, including those who counsel and those who seek it, yes. Jesus is head over all that. Head over all things to the church, which is His body, living spiritual organism, not a dead religious organization, certainly not a psychologized religious organization, which is his body, living spiritual organism that lives by the life of Christ the head, his body, the church, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The church can be called, rightly understood, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Colossians 3:11, remember, Jesus is to be all in all. The one who is all lives in all of us, and we're to let him be that. And the more we are looking to him that way, the more the practical reality of it is true, that the church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. The one who is the fullness and has the fullness and lives in all of us, that's what the church is to be. Put another way, the church is to be filled with Jesus. And then the church can live as the fullness of him who fills all in all. Don't you see the implications there for the counseling ministry? The head is the wonderful counselor who's to be all in all of his body. Wow, let's just let him be that. Let him be all that the wonderful counselor is to be in all of us. And let it happen in the body, which is where it's ordained to take place. This is all lived out, this New Testament truth, primarily, basically, in the individual local churches, each a microcosm, you might say, of the whole, each a little reflection of the whole one church, the body of Christ. So that's by way of introduction, just to have our thinking in the right direction. This is the spiritual reality behind the setting in which counsel God's way is to take place. All the rest now will elaborate on that. Let's look at a picture of church life, that is body life. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. A beautiful snapshot, spiritually speaking, of what life together in the church is to be, ought to be, can be, as we allow the Lord to live among us. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, that work of God that just binds us together. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What a picture of church life. It's obviously church life, just the terminology here. The elect of God, holy, beloved, forgiven, and then relating one to another. Verse 12, as those who put on a heart of, as those who are the elect, as the elect put on this kind of heart. Ask God to work in us to walk this way. In light of who we are, God's people, let's ask God to produce this kind of life among us. Hearts of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience with each other. Verse 13, bearing with one another, putting up with each other. Forgiving each other, how? Like the Lord forgave. Then over all these things, above all these things, put on love. Live by the love of God, which is the bond of perfection. the love of God that perfectly binds us together. His truth we're to stand on. His love then binds us together upon that truth. Verse 15. Allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Literally, the word would mean function as an arbiter or umpire. Let the love of God be the umpire between us. You know, the one ruling how we relate to each other. You know, you get those attitudes and the love of God goes, you're out of here. That's out of line. That's a foul ball. You know, that's no good. Love of God, toning, shaping how we treat each other. Verse 16, also allowing the Word of God to have a major place in our life together. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. A lot of room in each of our lives and among all of us. Then teaching and admonishing one another. And doing it with wisdom. And doing it sometimes through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And all the while singing to God with melody in our heart. Boy, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Like to just see every church like that, huh? Well, that's what the potential is. That's what's there for us to walk in. Verse 17. Whatever you do, all of church life, in word or deed, talking or acting, words or actions, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Thanksgiving appears here, I think, three times in this section. God's people living together in gratitude. God is so good. Doing everything said or done in the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, under His authority, according to His will, as His representatives, for His glory, by His resources. These all are related to someone's name, doing it in His name, under His authority, according to His will, as His representatives, for His glory, using His resources, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's a picture of church life, body life. That's how the church is to relate to God and to each other. Well, the more a church is like that, the more glorious it is. The less it's like that, the more agonizing, the more humanistic. I mean, this is a glorious picture, comprehensively, of life together as the church. This would be a great thing to pray for all of our churches. Lord, just make our churches like this. Wow! Whew. That's what God has in mind. That's what God can do. In Colossians 2:19, related to this church life, speaking of people not holding fast to the head, they were off base, this was wrong. We need to be holding fast to the head from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Holding fast to the head, abiding in Christ, looking unto Jesus, staying in close fellowship and walk and dependence with Him. From whom the entire body, every member of the body, every one of us, finding in the head, receiving from the head all that we need and what we need to pass on to the rest of the body. Then we get nourished and knit together. Nurtured and are given from Christ things to release and share with others. Held together, knit together, strengthened together, built together by joints and ligaments. Joints being the relationships of member to member. Function together like members of the body do in their joints. Ligaments, strong love bonds that hold those joints in place. We can be enabled by the love of God and the work of the Spirit among us and holding fast to the head, ministering to each other, to have the joints of relationship in the body of Christ, member relating to member, creating a joint, just like members of the physical body create a joint in their relationship and work together. We can see spiritual joints created and held together by ligaments. It's sad, the trivial things that pop one Christian out of joint with the other. Seems like sometimes it takes almost no pressure. I guess you could say to get someone's nose out of joint in the body of Christ. Doesn't have to be that way. We can let the head, as we draw from him ministries to each other, build strong ligaments. Just like in the physical body, if there were not strong ligaments, any little pressure, movement, change, you know, just pop that joint out where it would be unusable. And that relationship between those two members would be gone. They could not function together. It doesn't have to be that way. The spiritual body of Christ can be like the physical body, which is the language used here. God has created the physical body with joints and then ligaments that grow in there tight and hold those joints together so that one member can stay functioning with another member, even under great pressure. They just stay related. Of course, the ligaments in the spiritual body of Christ are strongly developed bonds of love. So even pressure comes. A tough day, a bad word, a harsh attitude. You know, we don't, well, see if I ever again. You know, well, yeah, I'll see if you ever again. You should ever again. And I hope I see you ever again. You know, talking to that person, hugging that person, praying for that person. You know, you don't have to get popped out of joint. And that's the setting in which we're to live together. And that's the setting we're going to see in a moment in which God has ordained counseling to take place. Such an alive, fertile, living, relational setting. Not some cold, sterile clinic somewhere, especially drawing on some theories of godless geniuses. This is where God intended for it to take place. In the body, where there's life and Him and relationship. That's where God does what He wants to do. Colossians 2:19. Then the body grows with the increase that is from God. Qualitative growth, quantitative growth, discipling growth, counseling growth, which is from God, divine activity. Counseling, we want to see it grow and flourish in the church. Here's the setting. Let it come from a growth that is from God. God being allowed to be, God the Son, allowed to be the wonderful counselor and using us in our joint, member-to-member joint relationships, bound in ligaments of love and counseling one another. Ephesians 4:15 and 16, same kind of picture. Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4:15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. God's truth, God's love, oh, they're critical in counseling ministry. And that's how we minister to one another, speaking truth in love. Not compromising truth, but not being unloving as we share it. Truth shared desiring God's best for the other person. Truth in love, compassion, concern. This is the context in which God wants to work. And we grow up and mature unto Christ's likeness, into all things, into Him who is the head, even Christ. And then that picture of drawing what we need from Christ, ministering it in relationships and joints. And then out of those ministry relationships, supplying the things of God out to serve and minister to others as we all, everyone, doing their part. That's God's will. This is a picture of church life. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, the peace of Christ, the Word of Christ, truth and love of God, teaching, admonishing, God's wisdom and thankfulness, holding fast to the head, doing everything in His name, entire church participating, growing relationships, supplying God's resources one to another. This is a picture of God at work among His people as they relate to each other. Now, in the midst of that, we've noticed there are one another relationships. One another relationships. Let's look at one another ministry in the church. And we're going to see that one of these strategic ones is counseling one another. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. One another ministries. Hanging in there with each other. One another, mutually, each with the other, forgiving each other, not holding grudges. Then Colossians 3:16, where we want to land a little while. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Many ways to do that. Other scriptures speak of here in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but the phrase that appears a number of times, admonishing one another. We could study it in other passages. The reason we want to study it here is it's right in the middle of church life. It's right in this classic picture of the church living together as the church under the head, relating to each other. Admonishing one another. This is one of those two key New Testament Greek words that can be translated counseling one another. This is the word nutheteo, from which Dr. J. Adams coined the phrase nuthetic counseling. Dr. Adams is not only a gifted counselor, he's a very gifted biblical linguist. He loved studying the Bible languages. And he couldn't find an English word that he thought captured this Greek word nutheteo, and in the noun form, he just coined an English word, nuthetic. He just transliterated the Greek to English. And then, you know, that gives you a new word, and then you define it. That's how we get all our words anyway. And, you know, I think that was wise of him. Nuthetic counseling. The term has to do with warning. Putting something in mind with sort of a challenge in it. Confronting people with the truth of the Word of God. See, some know who the confronters are. In fact, they called Dr. Adams the consummate confronter. I've had some wonderful interactions with Dr. Adams through the last few years, and really love him and appreciate him. And I've introduced some family and friends to him, and man, he's scared some to death a couple of times. You know, he just finds something to. What did you say? What are you wearing? You know, message shirts. He likes to jump on message shirts. Be sure they're orthodox. Our middle child, our son Dean, introduced a friend of his down in San Diego once. I was introducing them to Dr. Adams, and the friend was wearing a Harvest Crusade t-shirt, you know. Boy, Dr. Adams jumped on that, you know. Harvest Crusade, those words don't go together. What is that shirt? I mean, first time you ever even saw the guy, you know. Well, he didn't know what to say. I said, Dr. Adams, that's just a evangelism crusade t-shirt, you know. Harvest, they're harvesting souls. Crusade, they're getting the gospel out there in the name of the Lord. He goes, oh, wait a minute. That's not like those Billy Graham crusades, he says, where they sometimes have those Catholics on the pulpit, you know. Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, you know, the consummate confronter. He just spots something everywhere he turns. It needs to be thought through or refined, you know. He's an unforgettable guy. Yes, he is married. I never met his wife. That'd be interesting. But I tell you, I love him. He's a dear man. He's a dear man. He has a great sense of humor, though most folks never get to see it because they don't want to hang around that long. But counsel by confrontation. This very word, in a number of versions, Revised Standard, Amplified, Williams, New Testament, and others, at different places translate this word, counseling or counsel one another. It's that kind of word. It's strategic to understanding New Testament counseling, seeing what it's used in and what it means and how it's applied. And this word shows up right here in this Colossians 3 picture of church life. Part of church life is to be counseling one another. See, counseling God's way is a one another ministry, admonishing one another, confronting one another, warning one another. Now, it's not all confrontation. Excuse me. There's another word that we've seen and we'll see again. We saw it with the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, the Paraclete, Parakaleo. That's the other New Testament Greek word that many versions translate as counselor or counseling. Completely different word. It's not truth of God right up, as they say, in your face. You know, see where you are, see what God says. You must yield to what God says. And that's an important part of the counseling ministry. I must confess it's not my favorite part. Though I've gotten more bold through the years, and I see how critical it is. And we can't counsel just, you might say, by personality. You know, we've got to counsel by the Word of God. And there are times where it's critical to bring that truth right up in front of someone. See where you are? See what God's Word says? Don't you see the implications? Where you are has got to change. If they say, oh yeah, I want, but I can't, well then you start ministering the grace of God to them. But the rebellious, the disobedient, the self-sufficient, the stiff-necked, they need counsel by confrontation. You know? See what God says? See where you are? That's wrong. God's right. There's got to be change. And if they stay willful, no, then more confrontation. And maybe heavier doses of it. Not out of cruelty, not out of self-righteousness, but for their sake and for the glory of God. That they might be accountable and see the consequences and might be humbled. Then you pour out the parakaleo, the paraclete counsel. That other word that can be translated counseling or counselor, which is called alongside to help, standing beside with the arm around, comforter. And boy, you can even in one counseling session go from confrontation to comfort. The law that convicts and exposes the sin, the rebellion, the wrong. And if the heart is humbled and melted and wants help, well, you're just right there beside him with the comfort of God. That paraclete ministry. Oh, brother, you know how God feels about your broken heart? He loves a contrite spirit. You know how he feels about your humility? He gives grace to the humble. You're in a super place, you know. You're right where God's going to do big things. And you just encourage them. And that's kind of a little, you know, just a little capsule view of New Testament counsel. It's all either going to be confrontation or comfort or measures of each depending on where that person is. Our desire, of course, is that they can learn to live by the comfort, encouragement, and grace of God. That's the goal. That they need to be confronted less and less and less. because they're softer and softer toward God and His will, seeking more of His help and His way. And by the grace of God, they're enabled to walk in godliness. But that's really kind of a New Testament counsel in a nutshell in those two words. But it's a one another ministry, admonishing one another, counseling one another. I counsel you, you counsel me, this brother to this brother, this sister to this sister. It's not let's all go off and find the experts, it's let's minister one to another in the setting where the body is all connected and they're all under the head drawing what they need. See, that's the dynamic. That's where all the resources are. I counsel you, you counsel me, this brother to this brother, this sister to this sister. It's not let's all go off and find the experts, it's let's minister one to another in the setting where the body is all connected and they're all under the head drawing what they need. See, that's the dynamic. That's where all the resources are. That's God's ideal. Now again, not that God is handcuffed when people try to operate a little bit differently. It's just they're already building in factors that diminish the work of God. You know? It's not that they're awful people always, and it's not that nothing ever happens from God. Not at all. God is merciful. He honors His name. He honors His word. He honors prayer. He honors love and compassion. But this is what He ordained to do. And in counseling God's way, that's what we're aiming at. How did God arrange it? And then let's learn together how to walk in it. And Colossians 3 is a classic passage to that extent. There are a lot of other one another ministries that are greatly adaptable also to the one another counseling ministry. A little side note before we get to that. Question often comes up, you know, yeah, this is great to help each other and the resources of God and see great things can happen there. But how about the tough cases, the difficult cases and all that? And we have to find the experts and refer them. Well, we're headed just that way. We'll be there in our next couple of studies. God hasn't overlooked that either. God has a plan and a way, and it's right in the Word of God, where He raises up experts in the body. And we'll look at that over the next couple, two or three studies, when we move to the next section called Counselors and Their Equipping. Who should do it, and how do they get equipped to do it? And kind of follows up on this. But let's stay now just at the one another level, ministering one to another. That's what counseling is to be, as God has ordained it. A lot of the one another ministries are so applicable to the counseling ministry. Romans 15:7 is one. Romans 15:7, receiving one another. Therefore receive one another, or accept one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. People who are like this, who accept others and receive other people into their lives, willing to develop relationships, they're the ones who'll see their counseling ministry enhanced. You know, as opposed to being standoffish and, well, I don't know if I would even want you around the edges of my life, you know. That kind of an attitude does not develop counseling ministry. It's those who accept and receive one another. They want to make room in their lives for others in the family of God. And of course, that enhances one another ministry, and that's right where counseling takes place. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Those willing to get under the load in love and prayer and help burdened folks, cast those cares over on the Lord. That aspect of one another ministry will enhance and multiply the personal counseling ministry. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another, build up one another. Oh, so adaptable to enhancing of the counseling ministry. Hebrews 10:23 and following, motivating, stimulating, provoking one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking assembling together. Those with that kind of heart, oh, how their counseling ministry personally, even informally, can just multiply and flourish and grow. And then this last one, really the ultimate one, 1 John 4. Excuse me, 1 John 4. Seven. Beloved, let us love one another. Verse 12, if we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. This is the ultimate ministry one to another. All of the other ministries are caught up in this. Just loving one another, pouring out God's love on each other, desiring God's best for each other and willing to be a part of seeing it happen, loving one another. See, this is the way God ordained counseling to take place. And this is where I see again, this approach of man is a real intrusion into the plan of God. Just in conclusion, a little reflection on that. Counseling God's way was not designed for the professional clinic outside the church. Again, I'm not saying God is handcuffed out there. I'm just saying it wasn't arranged to take place like that, so it automatically has some built-in obstructions to the plan of God. And again, it's not that everyone out there in that clinic are awful people. They'll tell you. I always understate this, but I have seen and received testimony and even documentation of unbelievable horror stories out there too. Manipulating, conniving, money grabbing, scheming, dishonesty, manipulation, domination, all in the name of professionalism with a Christian flair to it. So though I want to be honest and as accurate as the Lord would show me how in the whole spectrum. This is not some blanket condemnation of everyone out there trying to help people and we're saying they're, you know, just all a bunch of demons. No. There's some wonderful people out there, I think, in less than the best place, but trying with all their being to do the best they can to help hurting people. I don't condemn them for that. I praise God for the sacrifice and the compassion and the selflessness of a lot of them. But I still would say to them, hey, come on, there's a better way. There's a better way. Come on and do that in the midst of church life, you know? We're all drawing from the head and relating to each other and really know each other and aren't charging each other. You know, come, there's a better way. Yeah, but it's my profession. Well, let it just be your calling and ministry. Who knows, if you're really gifted of God, and this kind of gets into studies coming up, it may become your full-time ministry right in the church. But either way, let's do it God's way. You know, there's a better way, that's all. Not that you're awful. Though back the other way, some out there are vicious wolves in counselor's clothing. You know, I mean vicious wolves. And be alert to that. Be alert to that. You might have friends kind of shopping around out there. Just alert them that it's not all what it looks like. That everyone in the Christian clinic operation isn't just kind of a Christian little off base that God's using somewhat, maybe. Some are just, I mean. And I know it personally as a pastor through the years in ministering with people who've been chewed on and spit out in some of those situations. Usually spit out when the insurance runs out is usually the way it works, which is a tragedy. See, and that danger isn't built into church life. In a lot of that system, it's built in. Hey, we can help you as long as the insurance covers it. which often is, you know, 14 days, 18 days, or more or less, depending on the company, the policy, and what diagnosis they were willing to accept, you know. But we'll touch a lot on all that stuff yet down the road. The point here is, this is how God ordained it. In church life. How does God get His counsel to us? Through the Word, by the work of His Spirit, in prayerful seeking hearts, all in the context of church life, of God's people, sharing the love of God, the life of God, through the relationships that God develops with the love of God. I mean, that is such a pulsating place of potentiality, you know, spiritually speaking. And in the midst of that, God wants us counseling each other. That's where we should expect miracles of counseling to take place. And too often we think, well, I don't have the training, I don't have the answers, I don't have the degree, I don't... Well, who said you needed that? Here's what we need, you know. And if we walk in it, and many are, praise God. Many haven't been sucked into the way of man. And some have been sucked into that, and they've convulsively been kind of spewed out. They just can't take it anymore. They see, oh, that's not what God has. And many are finding that just what God said is available. Let's be praying that God will use us that way more and more and touch His church as well. Lord, thank You for speaking to us through Your Word. Thank You that You've addressed these issues in the most profound measures. May we see, hear, receive, believe, be guided, adjusted, committed, convicted, and be a part of what You want to do to develop counseling Your way, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.